everybody. Hey, I'm Joshua Mock. I'm hosting today. Today is the Highway to the Danger Zone. Man, that song's fantastic. Kristen said she put that up just for me. I don't know what that means, but I'll take it. So Top Gun, love it. So hey, today Roy is doing something extremely important for Earth, humanity. He's golfing. Top priorities. Actually, all I know is he called me and said, I need you to host. So Dave, I'll be calling on you here in a bit. Deal, just so you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the church idea and that concept here in a bit, just to prepare you for that. But really excited to be hosting this morning. So we're gonna hop right into things and share here and kind of continue on a little bit on Roy's topic of last week, as this is going to, of course, be the kickoffs concept. Am I sharing okay there, Ed or Kristen? Can everybody see me? All right, cool. All right. So basically, first off, as we start off with every week, support at salesteampro.net. You got problems, can't get on, reach out there. So ideas, if you got ideas, great ideas, like Dave Deal and I are going to talk about a great idea he has here just shortly, reach out to that ideas at salesteampro.net. I think it was Stephanie Dorman and came up with a brilliant idea of the federal mandation for the vaccinations. She came up with that campaign, you know, that kind of thing. So you can also write Kristen at salesteampro.net because she loves to hear from all of us, I'm sure, all the time. This month was Sales Team Pro every Monday, Thursday. We're continuing that same kind of beating that door down, right? As I would always call it, you know, in my shop, like, you know, we do training every week, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, why? Because, you know, you have ups and downs, but you do it every single week and you stay in the game. So the next, as you can see, every Tuesday, marketing business, that's what you're on now. Every Wednesday is the real estate professionals, Sunday night trainings as well. So you don't want to miss those. All right, Sales Team Pro kickoff is this weekend. So fourth quarter kickoff, how to do 9 months worth of work in 3 months. So we talked about it last week. We're going to talk about it again today. And then Saturday is going to be the real highlight of this idea because, I mean, it's a pretty crazy concept. How do I do 9 months worth of work in three, right? So basically, how do you get in the fourth quarter everything you've done the whole first part of the, you know, not first part, the whole first three quarters of the year, right? So that's this Saturday from 8 to noon Pacific. And then we've got also the Sales Team Pro Conference. We are like, the countdown is official. I'm so excited for this event. Next week start. So let's see, 9 days to the $100,000 earner dinner. So we're going to be there meeting. First off, if Bree's here, I don't know if Bree's on this morning. Bree, are you there? I want to see if you have any cleanup, or Kristen, if you have some cleanup that we need to mention, some details, anything like that before we move on.
Hi, Josh. Good morning, everybody. This is Brianne speaking. And we are so excited for the conference. It's coming up fast. So we're going to send out that final itinerary of the schedule here shortly this week. But just know that Friday we're kicking it off at 3 p.m. And then the dinner will start at 7. So we'll have a break from 6 to 7 to get things set up for dinner and get the band loaded in and everything. And you'll get a chance to go get refreshed on that break after the awesome meeting and keynote speakers you're going to hear. And from 7 to 11, we're going to have start off with dinner, have an awesome ballroom lesson from Kristen and Dan after dinner, and then live music. So that's going to be awesome. And then Saturday, it's starting at 9, and we'll have a 90-minute lunch break around noon, and then come back and finish it off around 5 or 5:30. So right now that's the itinerary that's tentative, but it should be very close to that. We'll send that out soon. If anyone has questions about the conference or lodging or anything like that, you can email me at Brianne@roymatlockjr.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Bree. So I know that you've been absolutely killing yourself putting this together. These kinds of things are massive undertakings, putting together events. And so many of the top leaders and the panelists. They have done this before. Go ahead.
Hey, Josh, Mark Drake. I just wanted to check with Bree. You didn't mention golf. Was there any finalization with the golf that's happening or is it happening?
Kristen might have the answer to that, or Bree, go ahead.
Yeah, I went ahead. I've got that booked. It's going to be at 8 a.m. on Friday in the morning for the people that responded. If you hadn't responded to that, contact me. I'll see if I can add you on to the group. But it's going to be 8 o'clock Friday morning. That's going to be at Ted Rhodes Golf Course, not too far from Gaylord. And then someone just shot a question over on the chat about the $100,000 earner dinner. That is not at the Gaylord. That's going to be at Sambuca to answer your question.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Golf, everything, and there will be an agenda that's going to come out here really soon. Lucas also sent out an email today. If you have not put in who your plus one is, we really need that because we are getting the name tags printed tomorrow so that everybody has their official name tags. So if we don't know who's coming with you, their name tags can be written in a Sharpie. Okay. So we need to know, if you're coming and you're bringing a guest, who they are. We need those numbers finalized. So if you got that email from Lucas, please report back on that as fast as possible.
Yeah. And one more thing on that, Josh, if you're bringing a plus one to the Friday night dinner after the 3 to 6 meeting, that's not an attendee or ticket holder for the conference, they'll need to get a ticket to come to that event 7 to 11 PM that night. So if you've got questions about that, contact us, but just know that they will need that. Your plus one will need a ticket.
Awesome. Okay, great. Thank you. And then also today, directly after this I start this at 11:30 Eastern, when we start this at 12:30, the LFIC call is going on. We wanted to give a special plug this week for Dean as Mario Arizon is going to be on the call today. So if you don't have the normal LFIC to get onto that call, link, you can also access that on their Telegram group. They're going to put up the YouTube live link directly like at 11 or at 12:30, right when they start that. So you can go into there for the overflow link as Mario is going to be the keynote today. So wanted to make sure everybody knew about that as well. So hopping right back into things here. All right. So today we're going to also mention, for the panelists and people who have sent this out, the vaccine or no vaccine, the mandate campaign. If you've been using this, we're going to talk about this. Want to see some of the results that leaders have been getting from actually utilizing it in their business. So we're going to chat about that. And then Dave Deal is coming up and working a 6-part email church seminar series. So Dave, can we get a chance to, I know you've been doing these for years. What does it look like? What's kind of the idea behind this?
Yeah, so the original idea was born from competing against Dave Ramsey. And because, not that he doesn't have good information, he does. His program's well done. However, at the end of the DVD series that you go through, and first of all, they have to pay for it. That was the first problem, because most people with financial challenges don't want to pay for something they're not sure if they're going to get value out of. And then the second part of it is they didn't walk away with a plan. And so that when we approached at the time that this was created, I was part of a church that was about 5,000-6,000 members. And I went to the pastor and I said, why in the world are we selling baked goods and hoagies and everything else in our church every week, it seems? And he said, because people aren't tithing and they're not doing well with their money. I said, well, that's, so do you want to help your people or act like you're helping your people? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, you have the Dave Ramsey program. So you act like you're helping your people, but it's not helping people because people are walking away typically just as confused as they were going in because they don't have a game plan coming out of it. So that's what birthed our ministry, which began in 2006. So we've been running it for 15 years now. We're in 33 different churches, all different types of churches, from Catholic churches to Baptist churches to Methodist to non-denominational. And what we found out is people are hungry for the information and they want to do it God's way. So, It's interesting to note that money and possessions are mentioned 2,350 times in the Bible and prayers mentioned 600 times. Not to say money and possessions are more important, they aren't, but we are saying that it is important for them to understand how to, you know, how to take care of the 90% that we are told to handle on our own. And so since the pastors don't know how to do it, we offered it back then, and we have a six-part kind of small group program that we go through. And I was talking to Roy about it both yesterday and this morning. And basically what came out of it is we want to do it on Sales Team Pro so that it's easier to download. So Lucas, you don't know this yet, but we'll be working together at some point here, trying to package this together and put it on Sales Team Pro. So since y'all are members of Sales Team Pro, it'll be easy for you to download and utilize. What we're also going to do some coaching, you know, because what we found out, and so some of you may understand this if you've already tried to run church programs, that if you go into these churches as Prime America, where you go in recruiting and, you know, trying to blow away everybody, that's what'll happen. And we've had people in our area get kicked out of churches because they tried to go in doing the wrong kind of things and not thinking the right kind of way. And so we have a way to do it that's been very successful. We also have an elders and pastor presentation that we do to kind of help people get that conversation going in churches. Whether you know an elder or a pastor, you know, they're very skittish and protective of their flock. So you've got to be very careful, you know, with that. But we've navigated those storms, and we'd like to do that training for y'all. And so that'll be on Sales Team Pro as fast as we can get it to you all, and then go from there. You know, it will not be scripted in terms of Primerica will not be mentioned, because one thing I found out, we talked to Primerica about it already, and they said they will never do a church program because then they have to do a Christian version, a Muslim version, a Jewish version, a whatever version, fill in the blank. And they said they're not interested in doing that. So the way we do it is we put it in the church's name, and then we educate them accordingly. And we'll cover all that stuff in the in there. So anyway, Josh, that's what you know, it's a work in process, and hopefully we'll have it sooner rather than later. It's all done. We just have to be able to get it to Lucas and have Lucas help me design it accordingly and go from there. So we've got a couple of options we can do, and it's going to be dependent on what Roy wants to do and how he wants to do it.
Dave, you are the man. 33 churches of all different types. I mean, it's crazy, you know, that you, if you have something that's generic enough, right, that, well, it's not generic isn't the right word, but something that can cross all the different kinds of churches, I guess, you know, it's not making it a religious thing. It's making it about money, you know, and exactly. Just information that you're pulling straight out of the Bible. So that's fantastic.
Well, and having said that though, Josh, we do honor, like we had one church say, hey, listen, we only use the King James Version only. So we have all the scriptures in there from the Bible. And so then we do, we did just King James Version. And then others have different versions they want to use. That's fine. We can go with the flow. I already had a pastor say, can I teach that part of it? Sure. You can teach the, you know, the verse side of things so that we have the proper scriptures that you want in there, et cetera. So it's pretty flexible, but it's pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm sure Lucas is excited to take on a massive undertaking.
So, sorry, Lucas.
Yeah. So, all right. So fourth quarter finish. Thank you, Dave. That's awesome. Can't wait for that to be built out. So always think big and optimize your efforts. So let's talk about this fourth quarter and how we finish strong. Okay. So let's take what you did in the first 9 months and do it again. So this is something that I didn't do last week. I'm just as guilty as probably there's 326 people on right now, but I bet a bunch of y'all didn't go back and look at the last 9 months yet. So I got to go today, go look at year to date, right? January 1 to the end of September and see what you did. Okay. And you're going to look at that in whatever numbers and how you're building your business, what your goals are. So it might be recruits, premium, personal, base, securities, base, personal, you know, all those different things. You need to go back first and get those down on paper and what you did otherwise you can just say, well, I'm just going to do 3 months and nine, I'm going to do 9 months and 3 months of what, right? We got to get those numbers down. So go through your transaction logs, get the numbers, get them all down, then reset your thinking. Okay. Because you got to redo the whole marketing plan. I mean, and that's what today's really about. And then Saturday is just going to be laden with this information. Okay. So then you open up basically all the marketing, both old school and new school. So you got to think about talking to people in person and talking to people online, because it's going to have to take a larger amount of effort, right, to get more done. So referrals, I think, are just going to be a massive part. I mean, if you want to go fast, referrals are absolutely necessary because they actually create multiplication. So let's talk about optimizing. So you make the best of the most. So Roy talks about this a lot. So you want to make the best out of the most effective use of the situation, the opportunity, the resource, the whatever. So now this part, you rearrange to rewrite software. Okay. Well, you're like, what do you mean? So we just kind of optimize efficiencies. Okay. So I was thinking about this yesterday. I thought, okay, what systems do we do right now that are just sloppy? How we add people to Sales Team Pro? Can we make that smoother? The way, you know, if we're typing them in, or what if we send them a link, a custom link that, or I'm sorry, one of my landing pages that then they input themselves, or just something where you can make every little thing that you can do to consolidate time we want to add. Okay. So I'm reading this book right now. I kind of added this in this morning that this book has been, oh my gosh, two books I've read in the last like few years have actually been, I read a fair amount, or at least I listen to a lot of books that have been like really impactful. This book, Who Not How, I would say The Psychology of Money that Scott Leonard from Lincoln Financial got me to read, The Psychology of Money and Who Not How. And I'll tell you what, when we look at, this is Roy's thinking at depth in a book, okay? Because Roy says if something's repetitive, it should be automated, right? Well, who, not how, the real question is, not how do I get this done, but now it's making me understand who can do it, right? Who could do this? I'm doing something. He's the Dr. Ben Hardy says in the book, it's really good. He says, if you find yourself procrastinating, it's because that's wisdom speaking to you, telling you this is something that you don't want to do, and you could get somebody else to do it. And when you think about that, it's like, it's kind of like a funny little cop-out joke, and he makes it that way. But because there's certain things we must do, and we can't pawn it off on somebody else. But there are a lot of things we could get somebody else to do and optimize. Because if you want to take 9 months worth of work, when I think about how hard I've worked many times, you think, okay, I could optimize my time. If I don't think about it in that way, if I just thought work harder, sometimes you can't work a whole lot harder. Now, most people can. Most of us waste all kinds of time and this and that, but you can't like work four times harder sometimes. You know, you're like, no, I pretty much maxed out the last quarter. Okay, I was working pretty hard. So I might be able to find a little bit of pieces here and there. Well, then when we stop thinking about how can we kill ourselves to do in a quarter what we did in 9 months before, or in three other quarters, we start to think about who could help me do this. So how could a staff person help me? And what this guy talks about in the book that's really powerful or impactful is he would grow his business. So he said, I would hire somebody. First, it'd be like a risk, right? So I'd hire somebody to do something. Let's say some staff member to help with your prospecting, somebody to help with like Bree. He talks about Bree all the time, helping to make phone calls, prospects, send campaigns, things of that nature. So he said that freed up, let's say, 3 hours a day. Okay. And it cost X to hire that person, but then it made me Y. So I made so much more money due to having this person and freeing up my time, because that allowed me to do more of the creative process, sell more, actually be in the field, you know, meeting people face to face, doing less prospecting, because now you're paying somebody to do that. He said, so if my income went from $10,000 a month to $15,000 a month, he would take the $5,000, not increase his quality of life, and use the $5,000 to hire more who's, so they didn't have to figure out how. So he said, then I started to figure out, we paid a nanny, and all of a sudden I had more time. And then we paid somebody to cook, and then we had more time. And finally, it got to the point that his business grew so much that even though he was paying all these people in his life, he was also making more money than he had ever made. So I think about that, read the book, and carry that into these bullet points. Okay. So 9 months and 3 months is only possible if you start to think about who can help you do this rather than how do you do it. It's just a mental switch. So best practices, as we know, create the best execution. Work like lions, not like cows. Well, that's thinking like who, right? Lions work in packs. They hunt together. Okay. They, if you've ever watched like those, Discovery Channel kind of videos and stuff, it's not like one lion goes after this Cape buffalo. It's like, no, a pile of them go after it. Right. So that's a team working together to get a lot of work done in a short period of time. So breakthrough practice, breakthrough execution, kind of to the point above. Baseline income, you're like, I can't make less than 100 grand. Everybody's got your baseline. You've got some number in your head that you're like, I have to make that number. And that's the minimum thinking. And I have to make above that. Okay. So what would happen if you just optimized one area though? Like, so if we look at these different areas, like your image, if you just optimized how you dressed, okay, what would that do? Or how people saw you, just hygiene and your clothing and things of that nature. How you think, I mean, that part alone, right? I mean, we know self-improvement, got to get better. We got to think bigger, right? As John Maxwell says, there's no such thing as big problems, just small people. So we have to grow our thinking, which then, it works into self-improvement. Your product offerings. Well, if you're not fully licensed, you don't have all the product offerings. So that's an issue, right? So how much faster could you go? How much more referable would you be if you offered more products, right? So your product knowledge in those things, of course, is vital. It's not enough to have the license, but you have to actually know what you're talking about, right? So then I'm just kind of cranking through these because as a panelist, we're gonna talk about all these different areas. The questions you ask. When I started to think about the questions I ask people, this is years ago, but I was inside the base and I watched these like crazy Tom Hopkins videos from the 80s. He's got like this bowl cut that's like so bad. And I know everybody's, if you're older, you've seen these because my RVP had them on VHS. So I watched these old tapes and I learned great questions. And immediately after that, I started writing 10,000 a month personal. It was like, it was so easy to recruit people. It was so easy to write premium because the questions steered people. Well, when we look at these, if you just got good in one of these areas, how much more would it change your business? So how you approach folks, how you approach your time, how you look at time, and the amount of time I've wasted is immense. I don't know, don't want to even think about it at this point. It's just optimized time here now and moving forward. So onboarding clients and recruits, like I said that earlier, how do I onboard in a wiser way? How do I, even if I'm having staff do it, well, when I'm paying staff. So how do we onboard in a wiser way where then I'm paying less money in wages because we're optimizing even that so that person who works for me isn't spending as much time onboarding and maybe more time reaching out to people to actually schedule appointments. So your processing of life, business, securities, optimizing that, smoothing that out. Okay. Then your own work ethic. Which, we kind of mentioning that with time but work ethic is work ethic. I mean, you've got to be willing to drive and work towards your goals. Then your follow-up. I mean, these are all topics that, keynote speakers on Saturday are going to be hammering on these. Okay. Every one of these points, your follow-up process. That's one area that I know I've got optimized more. We've optimized, but it's like, it's got to get better and better and better. Where we're following up with people, not just through email, but through text, calls, and letters out to people, which will make us that much better in a customer service element, puts us at the forefront of their mind, which makes us more referable. Licensing, as I'd said, you got to have all the licenses, your training and how you're training others. Your assets and management, I think is probably your, if you've been around a while, if you've been around a while and you have clients, securities clients in particular, your assets under management client list, as we talked about last week or the week before on how to download, is your biggest resource there is. for referrals, new business, new sales, new recruits. It's all inside of that list already. So your accountability to somebody else, oh my gosh, is that huge? Your marketing. And it's like, I'm not even really accountable to Roy for this, but like, I've got this drive that I'm like, I've got to make $100,000 in a month. I can't get it out of my head. I've made $75,000 a month for him. I've never made $100,000. And I'm like, I got to make $100,000 a month, every single month. And I believe if everything gets optimized properly, okay. And then even once it's optimized properly, it's going to have to be optimized again and again and again. But if I can just get a handful of these areas ticking really well with my skill, I'll be able to make that happen. So I feel like I'm held accountable to Roy, but I feel like I'm held accountable to the 350 people here, because I keep saying this stuff whenever I talk on here. So, and that's what accountability is, right? Telling other people what your intentions are. So your delegation, this is the book, Who Not How, it's all about delegating. The problem with somebody that's inherently naturally entrepreneurial is like, I'm real entrepreneurial. I've had, I don't know, like six businesses. I had a landscaping company when I was 17, all kinds of stuff I've done. Okay. Real estate, property development, flipped houses. I mean, we did a lot of different things, all successfully. Okay. The hardest thing for an entrepreneur to do when you're naturally like that is to let other people do things. Okay. And that's kind of hard, because you pride yourself on your work ethic. You pride yourself on your ability to do something, but that doesn't, just because you can do it well, doesn't mean that you should do it, right? Because you have something in particular that you do better than anybody else can do, and you should be doing that thing. So technology, I mean, you got to incorporate technology in every single facet possible. Your referral system, we've talked about this on Clubhouse. If you go back to Clubhouse under the podcast, you can see a whole episode on referral systems. So your customer service, who's handling that? If you're handling customer service for your clients, you know, that gets really tough. I think, you know, if you're below RVP, I think, you know, Glenn Lee's a friend of mine. Glenn Lee said he was paying Keith Otto's secretary when he was a district. He said, I was a district leader and I was paying Keith's secretary like 1 hour every 2 days or something like that to help me with my customer service so that he didn't have to, right? So that's optimizing, which allows you to what? Recruit more, get in the field, sell more, that kind of thing. So what if you did this for your whole team, right? If your whole team started to think like that, what would happen, right? Not just yourself. So, and how much would any single one of those speed up or crank up your business? So, I mean, just a ton of material I know today, but we would like to keep kind of this last half hour for conversation. And so I just kind of want to start to open it up. Stephanie Dorman, I see it looks like you're available. I wanted to talk a little bit about your campaign. Have you gotten that out now? And then I want to chat about this first, this campaign for the federal employees. And if you're seeing any results from that, and
yeah,
open to the person who founded, created it.
Yeah. I have, I sent out, the campaign the first day it was available. I've gotten several emails. It's been a mix between, hey, I'm fine. I'm not leaving. I support it, blah, 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 to, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. And so I've set up an in-person seminar, because like I think I said before, I feel like these people are not going to be worried about in-person meetings, so might as well do it in person. But I've also had several people set up in-person appointments. I've done one, I've got a federal employee that's off station in Japan. And so we've done, I think, three Zoom calls since then to discuss it. And he's got several coworkers that he's kind of referring me to that are doing the same thing. And it's just, you know, making that game plan for their exit strategy. So it's been going really, really well. I haven't had, you know, hundreds of people calling me, which would have been fantastic, but I have definitely had several and gotten a variety of types of appointments. Some are Zoom, some are in person, some want to come to a class. You know, it's just being that resource is how I really look at it, is we need to let people know we're available to talk to about this and help them, you know, talk them off the cliff, basically, if they're freaking out about it.
Right. Yeah, that's really powerful. And there, I mean, that's what email marketing is, right? We have all these campaigns, like hundreds available, right? And you're just kind of touching people, and then certain ones hit people just right.
Yeah, and it's people that I hadn't heard from on previous campaigns. So, I mean, you just never know who's going to be triggered by what campaign you send out. And even the ones that said, you know, it's not for me, I don't need it. And I said, well, fantastic. You probably know people that do, you know, so you're always prospecting that way too. You know, just let people know I'm a resource is all I asked them to do. So you never know what's going to come of it.
Right. Yeah, that's really good. So somebody just asked, what campaign is this for federal employees? Yeah, so we've been talking about that the last 2 weeks. Stephanie, what's it actually called and what category is it in? If they go to the campaigns, where do they find it?
Well, there's two ways you can find it. One, if you just go into campaigns and you scroll, Hannah taught me this because I didn't know this, but the new campaigns are highlighted in purple with like a purple edge. So that was the way I had to find it, but apparently it is in under clients, but it's the vaccine mandate campaign.
Yeah, and what she's saying there is when you click on campaigns and you start to like scroll through them, you'll see a hazy purple box around a campaign, and that lets you know it's a new campaign. It's one of those little nuances you can scroll right past and go, why are those purple? Those are the new ones. So great point. Thank you, Stephanie. Anybody else has used that campaign, had anything come back from that and would like to talk about it? If not, we'll kind of kick over to our next topic. Charles, good morning.
Good morning. I sent it out on Thursday morning, and I think about 500 emails went out, and almost immediately people were clicking in, and so I was getting emails. I think we have a couple up to like 30 different emails, and one person actually so far went on my calendar, booked an appointment. It happens to be a young man I know that has significant investable assets. So that was encouraging. So what we're doing now, and we're just thinking through just some people, it looks like they clicked on it and it says they went to the calendar, but I think they just clicked on it to see the clipping that was with it. So I was unclear on that. So we're just going to call them.
And just hey, Charles, this is Lucas. We had a little bit of an issue on that click thing. It was the wrong notification for that, but we got that fixed.
Awesome. So it's really encouraging.
That's awesome, Charles. And we just had somebody ask here, James asked, how do you actually send it? So I'm gonna pop in really quick just to show how you can send it to all your clients really, really simply. So it's a simple process. If I can get this out of the way, here we go. All right. So you'll go in and you go to your contacts, right? So you have your clients, okay, so you're gonna have your numbers here. So go to clients and you need to create a group, okay? So you can add them to a custom list and you'll already have created one, but you throw them into a custom list and then you will just simply go to your campaigns and you select the campaign that you want, right? And then here's the groups, right? So like I got this little test, I would send one to myself. And then you find the campaign itself, whatever campaign, and then you schedule it and pow, it sends it to that entire group. So some of these groups you'll see have much larger numbers. I can send it to empty emails, that wouldn't work. But I get sent to clients, there we go. And then I could select the time and day or send it right now. I have found that with emails, I have the most success when I send them out earlier. So most people check their emails first thing in the morning when they wake up. I send a lot of my campaigns at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So that when people get up, they're racing JCPenney, they're seeing all the, you know, all that stuff. And then they see you too. Right. And I've had a little bit better results there. So, and that's how you can actually blast it out to everybody. So Dano, good morning. I see you're off mute. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good.
Good. I sent out a group of these, very similar to kind of what Charles had. You know, I got a lot of clicks to check in, but actually we did this end of last week, and that was Friday morning, because I'm like you, I send them out first thing. And I had three conversations that day, primarily people in the medical industry that didn't want to, you know, participate. So it's what options do you have? And you know, one client, she's like, okay, you and I've talked about possibly doing this before, so let's take a look at the business again. You know, so again, it's leading to client, but it's also can lead to, you know, good quality recruits from those clients as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So let's kind of pop into this idea of 3 months and 9 months. I mean, when Roy first said that, Daniel, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you're like, okay, Roy, you know, madman, you know, like, let's talk about doing 9 months worth of work in three. Okay, wonderful. You know, and that's your small thinking, right? Thinks like, that's not possible, you know? And then you start to really think about everything he teaches about optimizing and things becoming automated, which can now, I mean, right there, you saw my client list, almost 1,000. I could just reach out to 1,000 people one shot, right? And just think about the complexity of how you can go that fast, you know, and do that much. And so I want to see if maybe Josh Huffman, somebody who's, if Josh is available, or Daniel Alonzo is on this morning. There you go, Josh. Good morning. I mean, you're definitely the kind of guy, you're still on mute, bud, by the way, but Josh is the kind of guy who's without a doubt, he's had to apply who, not how into his life. Otherwise he wouldn't be able to have the quality of life that he has. So he's clearly worked out a way to optimize, but having who's in his life that help him to make his life easier. So good morning, Josh. Just wanted to see what you had to speak to these points. So,
well, as far as collapsing the time frames and
yeah, being able to do a lot in a short period of time.
Well, you know, I've always believed that that's the key to explosive growth is compression, and that is putting a large amount of activity in a short period of time. And with the advent of Zoom and the technology that we have, and I'm pretty much a technological, you know, I suffer from technological retardation, but I am a lot better than I was before. But it simply collapses time frame, so you can be in front of so many more people as you know, in a such shorter period of time. I used to, you know, my whole focus, I was going to be in front of 10 qualified prospects every week, you know, kneecap to kneecap. And to do that, you'd have to book about 18 appointments. And what I always preached was set 3 a day in a qualified market, and you'd end up being in front of 10 new people, and you could build a successful business doing that. And you should be an RVP in 18 months. Now you can be in front of 10 new people a day. It's crazy how much faster things can happen. And we're seeing new people across the country. Carlos Leon, give me a break. What is his 38th month or something like that, or 36 months, he crossed over $1 million. I mean, that was impossible back when Ed Randall started in the business and myself, I don't think that could happen. And, but you know, I was always very focused on getting and working referrals. In the last training we had, I had a little script that I always followed, and I'd go through our solution was a financial needs analysis. It was customized, you know, it wasn't cookie cutter. It was confidential. It was not shared information, it's much like an attorney-client privilege, and it's complimentary. And I'd say, we don't charge a monetary fee for the financial needs analysis. That doesn't, however, mean that it's free. Let me explain how we're paid. I think that's very important. And I would go through explaining that we're paid our monetary fee from the companies that we place business with, that the client doesn't write me a check for at all. The companies pay me. The second way we're paid, which by far is the most important to me, is through personal introductions. All of my clients provide me with 10 qualified personal introduction. A personal introduction is a name, daytime telephone number, permission to call the individual, their recognition of my call when I make it, and then an agreement to give me up to 10 minutes on the phone to share what I do. At the end of the 10 minutes, they can end the conversation. They can keep on talking. That's up to them. But their agreement is to give me 10 minutes on the phone. And when I would explain that during the presentation. And then when I would get the commitments, I would recap that. I would explain what a qualified prospect was at at the time I was getting the commitment, and then simply say, and so what I'd like to know is, will I have your commitment that you will pay me my fee of those 10 personal introductions and that you will contact them to get permission to receive my telephone call? And they would, I mean, always say yes. And then the day before the appointment, I would call and with some nebulous question and ask then, how are you coming on those personal introductions? And, you know, reiterate that, you know, I'm expecting to leave with those tomorrow. And then when I recap the concept, when I got back there, I did it some enticing, and it, you know, I would start out by saying that, you know, I've been looking forward to getting back with you, just to give you a little prelim before we get into the financial needs analysis. The manner in which you've been paying your bills up to this point, the two of you will not be out of debt for 23 more years. We're going to be able to have you totally debt-free, including your mortgage, without taking one new additional nickel out of your pocket in 11 years and 4 months. How's that sound? And oh yeah, great. Okay. And then, so I would recap the concept in it. And then right after that, I'd go through the decreasing responsibility theory. And then I would reconfirm the commitment and get those referrals then. And I would qualify the referrals at that point. So the who, the level of credibility with the prospects that you're doing business with made all the difference in the world with how many people I was in front of. And, you know, I learned early on in my career, I had to make money. I had made money before I got into business, and I had a wife and three children. I was the sole breadwinner. We had enjoyed a good lifestyle up to that point, and not anything like Primerica lifestyle, but, and I didn't want to have to sell everything. We lived at Country Club on the golf course. I didn't want to sell that home. I mean, it wasn't a palace, but it was, I loved it. And I didn't want to have to radically alter our quality of life. And, you know, one of my favorite pastors is a guy named Robert Morris, Pastor's Gateway. And he always talks about, stewardship. And he said, you need to learn how to spend wisely, save diligently, and give generously. And quite honestly, we've always done that, even when we were broke. And we've never been without, and our business has been blessed. So, I think the disciplines of making certain you're in front of enough people, I always wanted to make certain I was paying my bills on my pen. I never wanted to have a situation where there could be even an appearance of impropriety when somebody came in. Well, the reason I'm not getting promotion is because of all the money you're making off me. And one guy tell me that. And I said, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's take a look how much money I made on. And I couldn't even fill up a tank of gas with it. But I did enough business myself, but I recruited through the F&A. The F&A to me stood for finding new associates, not for financial needs analysis. And that was my mode of operandi. And I was very intense and focused and had a system down where I would get with my clients. I met most of my prospects during the daytime. I'd either meet them at their office or my office. And what I would explain is the way I wanted those qualified, I'd get the qualified referrals. And the latter part, I started just doing telephone call on a teed up appointment. But before then, Bob Safford had talked about sending letters out. Well, I thought the letter that he had where you fill in the blanks, I felt like that was pretty hokey. And so I would target either business owners or their staff, and I'd go in with the business owner, develop them as a client, and in many cases, set up a 401k. And then as I began to work through their middle management people, I would get the letterhead from the company and get their permission to endorse their name to it. I'd read them the letter. This is the letter I'm going to send out. What I'd like is your permission to send out this letter over your letterhead. If you'll give me permission to endorse your name, you know, I won't even have to bring them up here to have you endorse it. I can just send them out. And very seldom did I have anyone say, no, I want to endorse it myself. And so I had letterhead from people's company going to them, and it was sort of like shooting ducks in a barrel. It was pretty, it's pretty foolproof. And anyway, I don't know if you want to know about it, Josh, but
I didn't know if when I called on Josh Huffman, that we were getting a clinic this morning. That's fantastic. he said compression is key to explosive growth. And then he talked about commitments. He got into the idea of getting the commitments for the business, getting commitments for the referrals. And Josh, I always experienced that nobody does it. Nobody gets commitments in the shop. And when they do, they experience compression. It like when they actually start to do it, you know, they like muster up that like courage to actually like tell somebody, this is how you pay me, you know, and this is how you take care of me. And those people usually have an explosion right afterwards. Would you agree with that?
If you don't get a commitment, you'll close probably 25% of your prospects. My commitment was ironclad. I closed almost 100% of my carrybacks. I mean, I may miss one out of 80, but because I would go back and I mean, I would recap the concept, reconfirm the commitment up front. I mean, it was very, I mean, I had gotten that commitment several times. I didn't have many people back away. And if I could not reconfirm the commitment at the carryback, I did not go through the financial needs analysis. And I'll never forget, I had a wedding photographer came in, and it was radical improvement in their financial needs analysis. I was able to free up a bunch of money and withholding allowances, all sorts of stuff. And they wouldn't give me I'd done the F&A, and they came back. He said, I don't ever pay somebody before I get the service. And I had to start laughing. I said, now, wait a minute. I've just married off two daughters. I had to pay the wedding photographer in full up front before I ever saw the first picture. You don't operate that way? He turned red. And I said, listen, you know, if that's the way you feel, that's fine. I'd encourage you to think about that. I'll be happy to, I mean, we're going to be able to make a major difference for you financially. And he said, well, we want to see that before you make a decision. And then I went back and I said, well, that wasn't our agreement, but what I'm telling you that without taking any money out of your pocket, we'll be able to have you out of debt from 22 years to 11 years. We will also, without taking any new money out of your pocket, we will able to provide adequate life insurance protection to cover your family, your children, provide meaningful income, sustainable income, if something were to happen either to you or Jessica, and without taking any money out of your pocket. Now, if I would hope that's sufficient enough of an improvement to earn the right to have your business, but I mean, I'm not going to go through the financial needs analysis unless, you know, you follow through on your commitment. Is that when we were together, I asked you, if I could do this, that what I've demonstrated that you would, in fact, become my client? And I asked you if that was a fair request. And at that point in time, you said that it was. You know, is it unfair for me to expect for you to follow through on the commitment you made to me last week? And I shut up. And he's just resisted. And I said, well, listen, you got my card. Give me a call. If you want to go through this, I'll be happy to do that. But that's, you know, I tried to be very straightforward with you exactly how I operate. And I was in fact able to do really a greater job than I anticipated on the front end. And if you want to go through it, I'll be happy to do it. So I don't have any hard feelings, so you can call me back. He called me back the next day. He said, we just can't sleep. How are you going to get us out of debt? And I said, well, come on back. You got those referrals too, don't you? Yes, we do. And so they came back in. And that guy referred to me. I can't tell you how many. I mean, he was probably one of my best referral sources because he's doing all these weddings all the time. I was training somebody at that time, and they would sit in the back of my office and they would watch me deal with my prospects and clients, do the presentation, get the commitments. And when that couple left, he said, man, you sure were tough on them. I said, I wasn't, I was just reminding them of the commitment they made. And I got the commitment the same way every single time. I wrote it. It was verbatim. Yep. And so when I said, help me here. I'm not understanding why you're resisting, because when we were together, you know, on Monday, I asked you specifically, and I just recited the commitment again. And so it was exactly what I had said. And they really didn't have, they had made a commitment up front that if I could do such and such, such and such, that we do business. And I just didn't, when they came back, we did business. And so to answer your question, I knew if I had, I got it down where I could set 15 appointments, and the way I set the appointment, I would see 10 of those. But to start with, and what I trained everybody else on, you got to set 3 a day, 6 days a week. You set 18, you'll be in front of 10. And but if you really get good at the appointment, you can get a higher percentage than you can. You don't have to set 18. You can set the 15.
Yeah.
But I knew how much business I was going to do each month because I knew how many appointments I'd set. And I had a file of letters. I had drawers full of letters. I didn't put dates on them until the day I sent them out. And I can remember telling my late wife, I said, baby, if this house ever gets on fire, you pull these, and I'm not here, you pull these drawers out, because there are tens of thousands of dollars in income in these two drawers. Because I had just stacks of, letterheads.
That's so good, Josh.
Anyway.
So. Yeah, that's so good. Well, thank you. Wow. Yeah, what a clinic this morning. This next guy, I want to make sure that we have time. So I appreciate that, Josh, very much. This next guy is going to be a speaker at the event. So excited, coming in from California. Daniel, looks like you're available. Love to hear some words of wisdom from you this morning, kind of sharing how you utilize kind of other people in your life to help, commitments. You can kind of go wherever you want with this. So appreciate you being on.
Well, I just want to say, man, Josh is one of my heroes, both Josh's. Okay. So, my heroes in business, Josh Huffman has been an incredible friend of mine for a long time. That was right on. And what I kept thinking in my mind as he was talking is the credibility that you build with your team, your new recruits that you're training, as well as your clients, when you're willing to take a stand and you're willing to say, look, I am a professional. This is my business. The reason why I would never do a qualified appointment at McDonald's is for that very reason, is because I do have some integrity and I do have some respect for myself in what I do. And I used to do the same thing. I would always tell my clients that the F&A was free for our clients. So I'd always make that little, our financial needs analysis is free for our clients. Not just it's free, but it's free for our clients. And because there were times that I would, review the analysis, and you'd get those hard objections and just the, I'm not moving forward no matter what. And they'd say, well, we'd like to see, we'd like to keep the financial needs analysis. We'd like to keep it, to review it. And I would never give them the financial needs analysis if they didn't do business with us. There's just no chance. So that was really, really important that I hope people got that. And again, it relates back to even recruiting, where you recruit somebody. If you're recruiting them in the alleyway behind the bar or something like that. I mean, that's just something that it just doesn't make you look good. And I just think it's important that you have some integrity. And when you're sitting down with somebody, make sure it's either at the office or at their home. Don't waste your time doing one-legged appointments. If the husband and the wife are not there at the appointment, then we're just not going to do the appointment. That's okay. I understand, the wife had an emergency and she couldn't be there. I get it. But we're going to reschedule the appointment. I'm not going to waste my time going over the entire presentation. And then at the end, they say, I have to talk to my wife. And then he wants to explain the entire thing to his wife. Now, sometimes new recruits, they don't get it. And that's what even Josh said right now. I mean, wow, you were harsh. You were tough. You were a little bit mean. No, it's just having some integrity for your business. And as you guys build out your businesses and you start to train more people and you start to build more teams, it's that much more important you go on qualified appointments. I use Calendly very effectively in making sure my time is well spent. So for example, if I'm training, Kristen, and I say, and she calls me up and says, hey, I got an appointment for Thursday. I'll say, Kristen, did you book it in my Calendly? So then she says, oh, I forgot. And so I say, could you just make sure you book it in my Calendly so you know it's in my calendar? And by the way, my calendar's already booked with other things that I'm doing. I might have other appointments. So she might try to book it for 6 o'clock on Thursday night. And then we find out that 6 o'clock and Thursday night, it's already booked. So psychologically, efficient wise, it does a couple of things. I mean, obviously she looks at me, she goes, wow, this guy's really booked. I better take him seriously. It's very, very important that you let people know that you are busy, and by the way, I know this is a little bit different. It's a new world because of Calendly and things like that. But even in the old days, I would on Sunday night, let people know I'm booked. I got so many appointments. I'm, so busy. I'm dizzy. But in this Calendly world, I try to put everything on my calendar. If I have my daughter's soccer game, it's on my calendar. So that way, if somebody tries to book an appointment with me, it's already I'm working during those couple of hours that I'm at that soccer game. That's my job. Part of my job as a parent is to make sure that I'm doing the parent things as well. So I book those things. But this is what I do though, is I have a 15-minute Calendly appointment that they can book in, and that's just for interviews. So if you want me to help you recruit somebody that's unqualified, then we're just going to block out 15 minutes. That's it. And then if it's an actual qualified appointment where they're married and they have kids and they have a job, then they're going to set up an hour Calendly appointment. Now it might go longer than an hour, but I just have it booked for that 1 hour. And then what's nice about my Calendly is it reminds the new recruit and the client 2 hours before the appointment. It'll actually it'll actually send a text message reminder to them, letting them know, hey, look, just want to remind you guys. So that way, if they're going to cancel on me or if they have an emergency, at least I'm going to be aware of that 2 hours before the appointment. It's very, very rare that I show up to a Zoom and nobody's there. And I also make sure that I have my new recruits confirm the appointment. Now, in the old days, if I'm going to somebody's house, and by the way, and even in today's, because I know a lot of you still go to people's homes, I do mainly just Zoom. But if you go to somebody's house, I would rather you not confirm those appointments. I would rather you just go show up, because you'd be surprised how many times people just don't realize, what's going on, and they forget about the appointment, and then you show up and then you still have that opportunity to do the appointment. But you really have to get great at making sure that when the new recruit is booking the appointment, this changed my life right here. Is when they're booking the appointment, they have to make sure that they tell the client, look, my credibility with my trainer is extremely important. Please don't stand me up. Okay. This is very, very important to my training. I'm getting certified with the state to get my license. And this is very important that we do this short meeting. So if you're having any hesitation about doing this appointment, please tell me now, so that way we can discuss a time to reschedule. But if you're telling me you're going to be there and you and your wife are going to be there, let's book it. Let's put it in stone. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk with you. And then I'll see you there. Make sure you put it in your calendar. I'll see you there at this time on this date. And that's going to eliminate a lot of the people that, you know, that are going to reschedule on you. And then the last real quick is just when you're booking an interview with somebody, when you're going to have just a short conversation about the business, let them know that, look, I mean, you're not the kind of person that would stand me up, are you? Okay. Use that little phraseology right there. You're not the kind of person that would stand me up, after you've told me you were going to show up to a point. Are you that kind of person, or can I count on your word? And that's just calling it out and making sure that it solidifies, because then they commit to you again. They say, yes, I am a person of my word. So when they think about canceling, they might hesitate about canceling because they remembered that they promised you that they would be at the appointment.
That's fantastic. Daniel, you are the man. Everybody, a little preview for the Sales Team Pro Conference from him. So excited to have him coming out in Tennessee and be able to meet him in person as well. So technology optimization, that, I mean, he was just, that's what Calendly, that whole talk was all about, made his life a lot easier without a doubt, using programs like that to help remind people and keeps people on track and things like that, makes it easier to cross-reference three different people's appointments when somebody's available, all that stuff. So just a reminder, on Telegram, you get the link. Mario is live on the LFIC call if you want to pop onto that today. We thank everybody for being on. If you're on Clubhouse Friday morning, we'll see you there. And next Tuesday on here. Have a great day. Thank you, everybody.